On this podcast, I talked to Dr. Lilly, who's an optometrist here in Vancouver. During our conversation, we talk about screen time and also doing business during COVID. Here is our conversation. Hope you enjoy. Dr. Lilly, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing amazing. Thanks for taking your time and joining us on the podcast.
You're welcome. No problem. Happy to be here.
Thank you. So I was reading about you on your website. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna take this way back to where you when you first came to Canada? Obviously came to Canada, but was it Vancouver? Or did you go to a different city?
Nope, Vancouver first point of entry. That's where I first came here.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I was reading on there where obviously mom and dad are same as my parents. It was hard for them to understand the English language, and mm-hmm. you had to step up and kind of read some stuff. And at 11 yeah. years old, people come to office with kids and they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, going through all that, and then from that point on, then you went to university, you went to the U.S.
For undergrad, I actually went to McGill. So I went to Montreal first.
Okay.
To the French land. Yeah. It was great. And then for optometry school, I went down to Philadelphia. Yeah.
So you lived in 5 different cities there in the U.S.?
Yeah. So yeah, because of the rotation part of the training. So I basically moved every 3 months when I was down in the States, just working at different practices and hospitals. Yeah.
How was that?
I actually really liked it. So
just because the culture difference or just being away from home and new environment?
Honestly, when I went to McGill, that's when I wanted to go away to be away from home. So I did that. But when I chose to do my training in the States is because I know the clinical training would be quite comprehensive and would be pretty good to prepare for myself. And being down in the States, I wanted to also say like, yes, I have seen the United States with my own eyes. And I actually really wanted to experience the different parts. Because just like Canada, it's so big, you know, Vancouver is different from Toronto. Same idea, you know, I was down in Philly and I wanted to be able to say I've lived in the South, I've experienced a culture. And I wanted to check out like different parts. I went to New Mexico, just totally different, amazing place. And then of course, California. And I just wanted to really almost sample the different parts of the United States, and it was actually really, really great. Like, I love the experience, not just for my clinical training, I saw a lot of things, but also just the culture and then to understand the people and everything. So it really built my character a lot throughout those years.
So Asian culture in Canada, mm-hmm. at home, not mm-hmm. in the public's eye, versus Asian culture at home in mm-hmm. the U.S. Is it similar? Is it different?
It's a little bit different, I find a little different. I find it's actually for all immigrant families, I do find it's a little bit different. This is my personal experience. I can't really speak for everybody else. So I find like in Canada, you can be a little bit louder with who you are, you know, be proud of who you are, your background, your roots, and then you can really live it out. In the United States, I could see like some people kind of feel like want to mute that a little bit because they don't want to stand out too much because they might not feel that they will be well understood. And then they kind of feel like, I think I need to contain it a little bit. I find it's easier in Canada to be very like, this is what I do. Yes, these are the holidays and these are the stuff that we eat and then it's okay. And people are just like, yes, that's who you are. And that's totally cool. You know?
Interesting. Yeah. I have different opinions as well. I've been to mm-hmm. quite a bit of places in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Most of my family lives in California. So I always say that's my second home because I spend so much time there. I find certain pockets of California, the Bay Area and mm-hmm. Southern California is somewhat comparable to Vancouver, but mm-hmm. not really, right? There's mm-hmm. there's a lot of similarities, and then when I'm in the East Coast or in the South, it's totally different.
Absolutely different. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now, what made you become, or what was your the process of becoming a optometrist? Is that something you always wanted? Was it like, go through the feelings here.
Yeah. So I actually did not know I want to be an optometrist until I was in fourth year university. So hopefully this will be offering some comfort for some of the students out there feeling that they have to figure it out. No, you don't. Don't worry about it. You don't have to figure it out right away. In fact, you should probably pick a few things and then realize that you're not good at it and move on. So I did not know at first. I went to McGill. I was in science. So 80% of the class want to go into med school. You know, I was one of them. And then you grind and grind and go through the process and wanted to go to med school. I decided, well, I want to work in the hospital because I want to see what it's like. I worked in the hospital and I didn't like it. I didn't like the environment. I didn't really necessarily like the lifestyle and the shifts and all that. I didn't really find that fit my personality. So I started looking at other disciplines in healthcare. And there's so many different things you can do in healthcare. You don't have to be a physician, be in a hospital or in a clinic. You don't have to. So my really good friend at the time who already applied to optometry, she's like very set on it. And then I explore that. And then I realized that in that discipline, you can basically be as academic as you want, as medical, or you want to go the other route. You want to be a business owner. You want to have like a boutique or anything retail or even fashion-y, that kind of stuff. You can. So I really like that. And most optometrists are self-employed. So you have the liberty of determining, you know, your hours and then what days you want to work. So, and I really liked it. And I'm a person who loves to build relationship with people. Like I like to spend time with people and optometry allows me to do that. You know, like I decide how long my exams would be and I can basically like people tell me all kinds of stories and people build that relationship with me and I really like it. Yeah. So that's kind of how I got into it.
Business is built by relationship. That's all it comes out to. It's not the advertising that people are doing. It's not the phone calls. It's not who you know. It's part of it is that too, right? All of those, but it's the relationship. It's talking to them. It's making them feel comfortable. It's adding the value. That's all it comes down to. So on social media recently, I don't know. I'm guessing because I'm doing some research with you. Now the algorithms are kind of changing and now I'm seeing kids sitting in classroom and the teacher handing this child glasses as the first time he's seen color, right? And then I'm seeing another one where I get a small girl, she can't see clearly. I don't think she's ever seen clearly. And then she puts the glasses on and sees her mom for the first time, extremely clear. You've probably gone through that process with clients. How does that feel?
It actually feels really crazy.
Crazy good?
Crazy good. Like, okay. It's really hard. It's really, really hard to say. There are times that you're like, oh, great. And then there's like different scenarios. Sometimes you'd be like, okay, this is what your child needs. And then the parent can potentially be like, no, she doesn't need that. I've never realized that. Or the parents is like, oh my goodness, I did not know. I feel so bad. Like I did not pick this up with my own children. And then you will have other parents that they would just be like, oh, it's not a big deal, you know, things like that. So it's very, very different, but always from the child's point of view, I like parents' reaction is secondary. It's what's good for the child. Because at the end of the day, without that vision, they don't have the confidence. They don't have the confidence. They won't be able to really excel at anything that they do. So I always want to make sure that I'm addressing the kid as an adult, kind of like, hey, listen, this is what you need. And this is why. And this is how I want you to wear your glasses at this time and this time. And the reason is because of this. So I feel like, because I know the kids will remember. You will remember certain things in your childhood randomly, like a random incident, and then you don't remember anything else, but that's what you remember. And then I want to give that opportunity for the kid. It's like, hey, you know what? This is for yourself. You can decide for yourself. And this is why we need to do this. And that's more important to me. You know, so yeah, like a lot of times, you know, I find more joy and rewarding for what I can do for the kid. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the emotion that it's attached to it, right? When they're mm-hmm. coming in and, you know, they see blurry for years and years and all of a sudden you see clear. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. that's going to stick to you for the rest of your life. Yeah. It's always yeah. those, you know, those small yeah. opportunities that that pretty much do everything here. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, my podcast is more of business chat here. So I'm just going to change this over to a little bit of business here. So since COVID, mm-hmm. it's hard to meet people face to face. So there's a lot of Zoom calls like this going on. There is, so you got Zoom calls all day long. Then you're sitting in front of the computer all day long. And then at nighttime to unwind, it's gaming or it's Netflix. Next thing you know, you got like 10 hours in front of in front of the screen. And I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. Right? That's pretty much my postings all day long. What is within reason mm-hmm. for, and I'm asking this for my eyesight.
Mm-hmm. What is like reasonable amount of time? There's really no magic number. Honestly, though, everybody should take a break every 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. 20 to 30 like, minutes.
Yeah. Like by the time you go, you amp up to 8 to 10 hours, it's already a lot of pressure on your visual system. So essentially, your visual system can sustain it, but it's the eye fatigue, is the dryness that you don't necessarily feel. And then they build up at the end of the day. And that's when you realize like, wow, my eyes are tired, or my eyes are so dry, or I'm tearing up for no reason, that kind of thing. But everybody spends a lot of time on the screen now. And our focusing system is controlled by the eye muscles. If your muscles are flexed for so long, they're going to be tired. That's it happens to every muscle. And we're not built to have our world this close to us for such a long period of time. So my suggestion is that if you know you're going to be on the screen for a long period of time, try to take a break every 20 to 30 minutes. And you don't need a long break, just kind of like space out and look far away for 20 seconds and that's it. You don't even really need to walk around.
Okay.
All you need to do is just relax, just look far, and your visual system will just naturally reset. Like you will blink, your muscles will relax, and then you can come back. It's basically the same as when you are in the gym. You do your reps and you rest for a little bit and then you continue. So it's very similar. Yeah.
My dad was telling me this when we were younger. He's like, every day, look like 20, 30 seconds, look as far as possible. Look at the sky, look as far as possible.
Yeah.
And then go back. It's just like looking at close and then looking far. So I try to turn over it, but I got to do it more because I don't do it every 20 minutes. I probably do it every, I don't know, once a day.
When you remember.
When I remember, yeah. Or when I'm going to Starbucks to grab a drink or something.
Right. Yeah. And that's going to be too many coffees for you. So.
So yeah. I cut that right down. So I'm good with that. Now for me, if I have like, I'm constantly looking at the screen. So my neck is down. I know my shoulder starts hurting. Like those are signs for me. What are the signs for eye? Is a headache? Like I don't even get headaches. Like what is it?
Yeah,
is it
different it's different for different people. Once you get a headache, it's already, it means your visual system's pretty tired already. So at first, you start feeling the dryness first. It's like, oh, maybe a little bit burning, a little stingy, you're tearing up. Or you can actually just feel like the visual system just tired. It could be you have pressure over the eyes, or you can actually have trouble focusing when you're looking at things close up. It's like, you feel like you need to go like this. And then feeling like this, and then maybe like change the lighting a little bit. So it can show up as many different things.
Okay.
But once you start to get that actual headache at the end of the day, it means it's definitely above a certain threshold for your visual system already.
How often should somebody come in and get tested?
Mm-hmm. Every year or two.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So essentially with the, with, let's say when you go get your eyes checked, it's not really just for the vision. As long as you have eyeballs, you should have an eye doctor anyways. Cause it's not, it's more than just the vision. We also check the health of the back of the eye with the dilation. So that, like, it's unfortunate, but there's actually many times that people will come in just thinking they need glasses or contact lenses. And then we dilate and then we see like a retinal hole or tear or detachment, or the worst case is really just a detachment and it's already pretty advanced. So you never know what's happening at the back of the eye, you know, and then you don't know until we actually go get checked.
I got to come and get checked because the last time I went was probably 20 years ago. And a friend of mine said, you're colorblind. Like, you can't even tell the difference between blue and green. I'm like, that's blue. Like, I can tell.
Yeah, that's okay. It could be a guy thing.
No, I went to the eye doctor, optometrist, and they gave me all these things and put it in order,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I put it in order. The guy goes, "You're fine." He's mm-hmm. like, "Tell your friend to come and get checked out." I didn't want to say it to her, so
it's a competition. Okay, go.
Every 2 years, yeah, that's an important one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Now, so you guys have. So you're a partner at Durand Session.
Yes.
That's an eyeglass.
It's an optical boutique. Yeah.
Okay. You guys have your own brand glasses?
We do have our own brand where that's designed here in Vancouver, but made in Japan. But anyways, we carry a lot of different brands as well. All of them are basic boutique brands. So they're not the usual kind that you will find at most of the optical shops.
So a little fashion, a little
mm-hmm.
okay.
Customization, a little bit, you know, something different, you know, so that's kind of the who we serve.
I kind of figured with two locations, one in Mount Pleasant, one in Gastown, you know, your crowd is definitely hipper. It's my type of crowd.
It's different, yeah.
Yeah, it's different, mm-hmm. and that's a good thing. So two locations, how did mm-hmm. COVID change the way you guys do in business at the rent
session?
Everything?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Everything. Like the first to shut down, you know, it's hard to have to shut down physical stores. You know, I think any business owner would feel the same way. Shut it down, take things down, you know, board it up, you know, it just feels a little sad. And then it actually presented an opportunity to look at how we operate and see how we can pivot. You know, like I looked at telehealth right away, telemedicine, and see how I can bring that online. How can I serve during this time when people can't be face-to-face? We look into e-commerce and fit up. So it actually was a great opportunity to implement changes that we haven't had a chance to really do. After the reopening, it's all very different, you know. Since people will be coming in, we will have to be very careful. Like, I basically made sure, okay, what are the things we need? What kind of PPE? What kind of cleaning protocol? How many people want to control to come in here? You know, and then make sure everybody's on board. And, of course, when we're opening back up, we couldn't bring everybody back. Of course, we want to be very, very consider of our budget and then see what's feasible and then slowly go from there. And then with that, you probably know, like now in Gastown, the security could be an issue, Main Street too. So, and then we have to worry about that because there's more crime going on as well. So we've got to be mindful of that. Okay, how do we control? How do we prevent? What do we do when incidents do happen? Mm-hmm. So it definitely changed a lot. And also even on my part for appointments, you know, I implemented intake form online, pay online, like all of these things that people as much as they can do before coming in. And then, you know, I always offer them mask and then I basically tell them what to expect before they come here. Yeah.
So vaccine comes out in the next mm-hmm. 12 to 18 months. Do we go back to 2020 BC before COVID, this is the new, because here's mm-hmm. my side. I am not a fan of going to a doctor's office
mm-hmm.
unless
mm-hmm.
I really need to.
Yeah.
I like this. I like the way things are happening today.
Yeah.
You know, telecommunication through through Zoom. I'm a big fan of Apple Watch. I don't have one, but you know how they can monitor everything, and I can sit here at my own home or office and talk to my doctor and kind of say, hey, look, you know what, your BP is high, your heart rate, whatever, you need to figure shit out, come in, right? I like that kind of stuff. Do you think that's going to be the norm, and that's going to be a bigger part of business in the next 2 to 5 years?
Yeah, I think definitely, because with all the new methods implemented with telemedicine, I don't see people going back into waiting room of your GP just so that you can get blood work done. You know, you can request that on your app now. So I definitely see that as something that would continue. You know, I plan on doing that too. For some of the follow-ups are really easy to do that we can just do face-to-face on Zoom or any video call. I do that because it saves the patient a trip, saves that one exposure.
Saves you time.
Saves me time, saves cleaning. So I definitely see that as the direction that we will be going. As new technology come forward, then we can do more and more. I really see that as the new future. So it's something I'm willing to invest into, you know, with the technology and everything. So
yeah. I love it. I love technology. I wish I was born 20 years later.
But then you wouldn't have the fun stuff like cassette tapes. And
remember those big boxes where you open it up and you had the cassette and the record player? And, right?
Yeah. To press at the same time to record.
No, I was good. I had fat fingers, so I can actually do both of them. So I was good. Yeah, back in those days. And then transferring from like the CD to, sorry, from the tape deck to the CD in the car. And like, I don't miss that. I don't. I want to see what Tesla's going to be doing. I want to see what TikTok's going to be doing and all these other companies throughout the world. I'm more fascinated with that. Mm-hmm. Any closing remarks, any advice to younger entrepreneurs?
I think I always say this, like, no one's got it figured out. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, don't be so hard on yourself. No one's got it figured out. You're most likely will not have the answer all the time. And it's okay. You know, embrace it. That's part of the journey. And don't be afraid to be different. Make your own path. You don't have to feel like you have to be a certain way because that's what other people did. If it doesn't feel risky, then you're not doing it right.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's an extremely important one. When you're too comfortable, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
You're not challenging yourself. You're not pushing yourself. So
yeah,
that's amazing. What do people find you?
Where?
Yes.
Well, my location, I'm in my office in Gaston and in Mount Pleasant, but you can also find me on my website, drlulu.com, and also on Instagram at whatlilysees.
Can you spell that out?
Yes. Spell it out.
We'll have the links on the podcast anyways, right? But just people listening and they're typing it in.
Yes, right now.
I do that too.
Yeah. Well, drlilysees.com is actually, doctor needs to be all spelled out. So drlilysees.com. Everybody always want to spell my name Lily. It's Lily. So that's just the only thing. And then what Lily sees, WHATLILISES.
And that's on Instagram, what Lily sees.
Instagram, yeah.
Awesome. Dr. Lily, thanks for your time. Really appreciate
it. You're welcome.
You'll get a call from me here shortly so I can come in and get my eyes actually tested out.
Perfect. You can also book online. So easy.